Amen. That should be our daily prayer, a closer walk with Him. We're in the 6th chapter, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're also going to learn the importance of that close walk with Him. Because in this particular study, we see a great prophet of God, Elisha. Israel was not nearly as strong as her enemies, but it didn't matter. They had a strong God. And Elisha was the spokesperson that God interceded to him and told him all the enemy's plans. Let's read about it tonight in the 6th chapter of the book of 2 Kings. We'll begin reading with verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, Such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians were come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of and saved him there not once nor twice. We're so thankful that there's no limitation to God. He comes to our rescue. He knows the enemy's plans forever. And it seems as though the only thing so far that needs to be addressed is somebody getting close to God, because God knows it all. If God knows the enemy's plans and we know the enemy's plans, then we can avoid those plans. And that's what God expects us to do. Now, the Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Three times he mentions this thing. One of these days I'm going to get to preach that. So if I know the enemy's plans, then specifically and in detail, God will let me know those to let me know what God's up to. Let's keep reading. Now, the enemy doesn't like that. That we know. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this saying, and he called his servants and said to them, will ye not shew me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. Tell the king of Israel the words that thou speaketh in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. Was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? That's what I want to preach on tonight, the title of the message. How shall we do? It seems pretty grave for the servant. It seems like it's pretty grave for you and I a lot of times. As we go through this world, we know the enemy is about us, camped about us, great number. There they were, horses and chariots. And as he woke up that morning and the servant woke up, there they were by the numbers. They knew what they had come for. They had come to kill him and destroy. That's what the enemy's plan is, to kill and destroy. And so the servant is rightfully saying to the master, Elisha, how shall we do? I can almost see his expressions. And that's what Satan wants you and I to say tonight, that we're so compassed about with all the enemy of the world. We know their plans to shut down the things of God, to destroy the family, to ruin children and bring them up in drugs. And thank God for our youth this morning. Thank God for all the people that work with the youth. Thank God, Brother Gunn, for that message that stirred me on this morning, being strong in the Lord. And it wasn't at all surprising to Elisha, because he had had the ability to be with God. And he knew that God knew everything. It's so important that if you're in the will of God and you know that you're doing God's will and you're in communication with him on a daily basis, the enemy can do what they want to. Don't seem to frighten or bother Elisha. And I want to look at that. And by the help of God, we'll answer that question, how shall we do, seeing the enemy is compassed about on every side. It seems to be a simple thing for Elisha. The first thing he says is, fear not. Now, if God is in control, and he is, and he's my master, and I'm his servant, and he bids me what to do and where to go, I'm going to have no fear. Fear not. And then he says the second thing to him, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And we'll look at three things quickly than that. First of all, I want to look at the clarification about the crusade. There is a crusade going on today of good and evil. And so let's just clarify and bring it down to simple illustrations. The evil nation was Syria, hated God, the ways of God. Israel was God's people, good and evil. And today, I'm not good, nor you are not good, but greater is he that lives within us, and he's good, and that's Christ Jesus. So we're trying our best to follow the precepts of the Word of God, follow the examples of the Word of God. We're trying our best, hopefully we are, by the help of God, to live our life pleasing before him. So therefore, we are on God's side because he's always going to be that which is good. And if we learn to be on his side, but then there's an evil thing going on. Syria was an evil nation and they were out to destroy. If they can destroy the things of God, they've got the nation. Listen carefully. If the enemy had been able to destroy Elisha that day, the servant of God, with a message of God, then they could have come and destroyed the whole nation. And if the enemy today can destroy the church of the living God, but hey, there's good news. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're on solid foundation. So the clarification of good and evil is, the enemy's out there, they're surround us. We're to fear not. We're to open our eyes and see what God's up to. Now, there's a verse of scripture I want to read you here in the Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph doing the speaking. The brethren had come down, remember, and put him in a pit, sold him into slavery, and their conscience was bothering them all those years. They thought he was surely, surely dead. And when it was found out that he was now the second in command of Egypt, and he knew their existence, and he knew them, they were afraid that he was going to destroy them. But he makes a statement that will help us today. Genesis 50:20. But as for you, he's telling his brethren, they were his enemy. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So look at it this way, the way Joseph tells us, the way it really is, that God's in control. If I didn't believe that, I'd just quit, because it wouldn't be nothing to do. He's in control. And since he's in control, he allows things, he permits things to come to pass. In Romans 8:28, for my good. How can you figure it? Because he said it was like that. So we're going to look tonight how this invasion by the enemy, they had went many miles, they had taken their horses and their strong chariots, and they had found Dothan. And there Elisha was, him and his servant, probably by themselves, just out camping. Wake up in the morning, and no doubt they may have been awakened by the sound of the horses, by their clicking of the chariot wheels. Nevertheless, they saw the presence of the enemy there. Elisha says calmly, fear not. Lord, open his eyes and let him look around and see what really is transpiring. We saw the clarification about the crusade. Let's bring it a little bit more personal tonight. It's bothering every one of us. We live in the great state of North Carolina. You've been reading the paper, you've been hearing the news about this evil. You know, we, our governor and those bold servants of the state that are in office made a daring law, and, you know, they knew the world would be against them. But I believe God was directing. I'm 100% sure God was directing it. And here we are in the midst of the veil and all these things, all these cancellations, all these things that go in the past. Remember the verse. They meant it for evil, but God allowed it and meant it for good. How's that? We'll look at it tonight. Let's look at some of the things that's happened. I read that Bruce Springsteen, ever who he was, concert in Greensboro was canceled. Boy, that's just got him really, really mad. Now, as far as I know, I've never listened to a note he's ever played and the song he's ever sang. If you're one of his great fans, that's okay. But let me read a little bit farther. I did do a little research after I seen, because a lot of people's mad. I mean, thousands of people and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it just seems to be bothering people awful bad that this new law that God allowed to be put in force is bringing all this deficit, all these people. Well, I looked at one lyric to one song, and I'm not going to read the lyrics because there's copyright on it, and I don't want them to say I infringed. I wouldn't want to repeat much of what he said anyway. But the song title that he had sung was Life Itself. That's one of the many, apparently. And it was the first verse is, there was a meeting place in the valley where the wine of love, from whence destruction flows. I don't know what the rest of the song says. Don't really care. That tells me enough. I need to know. And if you're really on his side, let me just tell you a little bit about him. He is one of these gay promoters. He's one of these gay sponsors. And by him pulling out because of this law, I told you all you really need to know about him. But I say hallelujah. I'm proud he's not coming to North Carolina to contaminate all the people who go down and listen to the type of music and what he stands for. I don't see anything wrong with that. Brother Gunn, be ready with a box of Kleenex. I may have to cry over that. You know, it's, things like that just tears me up, you know. God doing such mighty work and people are crying about it. No, it makes me want to cry too. Hey, but it gets better. I read that the Family Equality Council had council coming in North Carolina. It is really tear-jerking. Let me read you their history, if I may. In 1979, a group of gay fathers formed a group that would eventually become Family Equality Council. Originally called the Gay Fathers Coalition, in 1986, this fathers group expanded to include lesbian mothers. What they want to do is allow lesbians and homosexuals to adopt children, since they won't have any of their own, of course. And wouldn't you know it, they're not coming to North Carolina. But we're going to go on. You see, they mean it for evil to get out of North Carolina, but God means it for good. He can handle it. And then, boy, this really tore me up. A nationwide effort from the founding members of the group of the New York Mayor Bill de Blasio. Forgive me if I don't pronounce these names right. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kennedy. Honolulu Mayor Kurt Caldwell. Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. Seattle Mayor Ed Murray. Portland Mayor Charles Hales. Santa Fe Mayor Javier Gonzalez, Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn, Oakland Mayor Libby Schaffer. They don't want any of their people that thinks like they do about supporting the gays and lesbians and homosexuals and transgenders. They don't want them to come to this state. That's just an awful thing, you know. So all this laws that North Carolina passed, and a lot of people said, oh, we've got to reverse the law because we want them in. I don't. They bring their values. Oh, I know I'm going to be criticized after this, but God gave me the message. I'm not backing down. Not backing down. Because you see, there is a battle today. There's a crusade for good and evil. They're the enemy surrounding Elisha. Going to do him in. Oh, but let's read a couple more. And then I read that the PayPal was going to build a big office and bring thousands or hundreds of jobs with big pay and money. And I used to be a member of PayPal, but hey, I'd fight the battle too. I don't support those that don't support the cause of Christ. Just pure and simple. If they can't, you know, come to North Carolina because they don't support our values, then I certainly don't have any problem at all to not support their values. Works both ways, don't you see? So let's look at the comparison of forces here. Here we see Elisha and his servant, and they hear the sound, and there they see hundreds of chariots, armed hosts, and horses and footmen. That's one side of the equation. But when his eyes got open, he saw it like it really was. Shall we read it? And Elisha prayed in verse 17 and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots afar round about Elisha, protected by the enemy. So, comparison of forces. The evil crowds got hundreds of horses and chariots and hundreds of men, and they were there surrounding Elisha, ready to get him. They said it was on the mountain, so the servant looked up, and there's hundreds of horses and chariots of fire. Now, which would you rather side with if you had a choice? Would you rather hook up with the people that were enemies of the cross, enemies of God? Or had you rather to go with the heavenly host with the chariots of fire and the horses? I wouldn't have any choice, any problem choosing myself. I'd go with God and the things of God. So the comparison of forces looks much better in the eyes of God than it does the way of the world. And so look at the forces in North Carolina that's around us now. There's an economic force, and they say we're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that may be, but which had you rather have? Economics, which is going to fade away, or the blessings of God? Well, it's a no-brainer for me. I like simple things. I never have been complicated. I'd rather have God's blessings. But you can't have them both. There's no way that you can go and side with the enemy of Christ and the way of the world and God at the same time. Now, there's people that try. And there's a lot of other good things come out of this we're going to see, too. Because God has planned it for good, allowed it to happen, and now they're coming and they're going. But it's okay, God's still on the throne. But notice now there was some eye openings, and when God opens the eyes of those that look to Him, He closes the eyes of the way of the world, and Elisha prayed, Lord, smite them with blindness. And these people that, you know, in the midst of the cross, supporting the ways of the world, that which God hates, they're blind to the things of God. And so now Elisha leads them. He goes up to him and says, why are you seeking? We're wanting Elisha. He's not here. But I know where he's at. Come follow me. And in their blindness, he leads them and they follow him. Where does he take them? Right to the capital city of Samaria. You see what God's doing? Joseph's already told us. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What's going to work out here? It's going to be a great thing because they're leaving. And then when they get to Samaria, God opens their eyes. And the king of Samaria, the king of Israel that was hosting the capital city was Samaria, said, what do you want me to do with them? You want me to smite them all? No. We feed them. You know what we do to those people that's enemies of the cross? We tell them God loves them. We tell them God died for them too. God sent his son into the world. We sang the song that I'd rather have Jesus. We sang a song about salvation. I want to tell the world that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And we ought to tell them. We ought to say we're going to stand. We're going to pray for you. We don't mind you not bringing your values down here. But when you go blindly, we're going to pray for you. Elisha said, no, 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 don't smite them. They need nourishment. They need food. And so that's what we do. We return evil. We give good when they give us evil. We return evil for good, not the way of the world. They would do us evil, but we don't do that. No, no, no. We give them the blessings. We say, God loves you. We're going to stand by our values. Why? It's worth dying for. It's worth anything because we have to, we'll realize in this day and time, there is a battle going on. It's a battle for good and evil. And he said, let me read you some more about this family equality council, how God has really helped us in keeping them from coming here. It's going to surprise you, didn't it? The family equality council, that council they're coming to North Carolina because we stood for good, we stood for right. They said they could not ensure the safety of the transgender attendees and the children planning to join the weekend-long retreat in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And they went and canceled it. Next door, wouldn't you know it? Citing concerns for the safety of its attendees, the Family Equality Council has postponed a highly anticipated weekend-long retreat in North Carolina after the state leadership enacted sweeping anti-legislation known as the House Bill 2. The Family Equality Council, a nonprofit that supports and connects these lesbian families across the country, had planned to host its first family, call it family, weekend in Henderson County at Camp Canoe, June the 17th through the 19th. The event has not yet been rescheduled. We did not make this effort lightly and without great debate. The decision was made on the cross-section of our leadership team and came after 2 weeks of discussion, the situation with stakeholders and their families. We are committed to serving their families in the South, but given the situation in North Carolina, this is just not the right place for our families at the time. And they had planned most of the people was going to come from out of the state of North Carolina, and we won't get to have them, bringing their transgender values and their families to local Hendersonville, North Carolina. And God meant it for good. Oh, it's going to be a great economic loss, so they say. I'd rather have the blessings of God as have it all, hadn't you? Let's keep reading. Now we see that Elisha is going to follow the Lord, and he said, I heard your voice. I was communing with him all the time, and I knew what God was up to. It's good to know what God's up to. And that way you won't have any fear. Now you can say, oh, you want to, but fear not. But until you come to the knowledge and understand that you belong to him and you know his voice and the stranger you won't follow, that's what Jesus said, and you're not worried about the enemy and you know that more of him surrounds you and the comparison of forces is, I mean, it's just nothing, drop in the bucket, little old horses and chariots of man compared to far a chariots of God, the blessings of God compared to the world's mediocre standard. What comparison is that? And you can't have them both. And Elisha knows that, so he takes them now. They're blinded. And those that are against Christ are blinded. I used to worry and think, you know, in my younger days, why does everyone come to Jesus? I thought that everybody in the whole wide world believed in him. That's how naive I was as a teenager. I thought everybody surely believes in God. It's just that they're not saved. Some are drunkards and some are gamblers and some are all these other things. But in their head, they believe that God sent his son. They just haven't bowed to reverence him and ask forgiveness. That's what I thought until I went to Washington, D.C. to go to school and I found out. I met my first atheist. I about fell over backwards. Somebody has got the stupidity, did not believe that there is a God. Then I found out they had children and they outnumber us in the vast majority. But that doesn't matter anymore to me because God's opened my eyes to see that his resources and his blessings and his protection is far superior than anything the world's got to offer. We like to look at America and think that we're, you know, the strongest nation militarily that's ever existed, and that may be. But I'll tell you something, it's about a billion times a billion stronger. The power of God. Thank you, Brother Gunn, for preaching about it this morning. The power of God. One word from Him, one uplifted finger, could annihilate all the armies of the world. I don't know about the rest of the world or about you, but I'm going to stay on God's side. I mean, the comparison of the forces, just, it's unmatched. And to think that you can have His blessings too, and you're protected from Him, and the way of the world is going to dissolve, and the way of the world is going to be ruined, and God's going to send all those unbelievers to the lake, burning with fire and brimstone forever and ever. They're in their blindness right now. But we pray for those that they'll see Christ Jesus in you and I. Not mean-spirited, no, no. We're not mean-spirited. We just don't want their values. And we don't want them to try to tell us what we have to do. And they surely aren't going to listen to us, but that's okay. We're on the right side. And we're not turning back. A couple of more verses and we'll be closing. Look at verse 22. And he answered, thou shalt not smite them, whether thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow. Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrians came no more to the land of Israel. Because he just said, I'm going to prophesy for God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to stay in close communion with Him so I know what the enemy's up to. And I won't fear and I won't be afraid. And I won't do them wrong. Yeah, I'll ask God to smite them in blindness, but now I'll ask God to open their eyes to see. I'll give them bread and nourishment and give them the bread of the living God. Christ Jesus is the bread. And we just preach Jesus in love. In humility, and we pray for those that despitefully use us, but we don't back down, nor do we turn, or will we be afraid? Lord, open our eyes and show us what we're to do. Invitation time, everyone's standing. I'll give you a couple of suggestions. Some of you would hit the altar and say, God, give us boldness. Give a governor boldness. And those that stand, thank you for giving them the wisdom to stand. And then another thing this has done is to open their eyes to the opposition. Now we know who they are. We know who's on God's side. And we know who's on the enemy's side. Pretty simple thing. And why did God allow all this in the first place? They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Thank God, thank God. And the next thing I want us to pray for is individually, we can live a life close to Him where He can instruct us individually. We don't have to listen to the governor or anybody else. Might be a wicked governor in there. We can go straight to the throne room and He tells us the enemy's plans. Can you do that? Elisha did. Brother Percy Ray taught me so much. In fact, the reason I'm at Fletcher First Baptist Church, because of prayers of Dr. Percy Ray. One time I had a big, big problem, I thought. And I told Brother Percy about it, and he prayed to God, and God just blew it out. And told me ahead of time He was going to do it. Oh, it's an exciting thing to follow God. Lord, we bow before You. We bless Your name. Not a popular message. Elisha wasn't very popular either with the world. They were trying to kill him and didn't succeed. And Father, the ways of the world is killing their nation, destroying them, destroying homes, destroying families, destroying churches, and destroying the blessings of God on their nation because we just won't look to You. Want to linger in their sins, and many even want to support those that have that kind of lifestyle. thinking it's okay that you wink at sin. But Father, we realize and know you love every person. Just as Elisha taught those people that was out to kill him. No, we feed them, we pray for them, we nourish them. And they went away. And Father, today the world is turned away from you. The way of the cross leads home. Help us to live a life praying for those spitefully uses, loving them, pointing them to Calvary. God, it's not your will that they should perish. It's not my desire they should perish. Father, I pray that they'll come to the saving knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If they do, they'll come the same way I did, by the way of the cross, by asking forgiveness of their sins. And I pray, God, that that will happen to hundreds and hundreds of those people all across the world that don't know you, don't want to know you. But, God, they could know you. Somehow, some way, remove the blindness off their eyes so they could see Christ Jesus lifted up, bleeding and dying for their sins, for my sins, and the sins of the whole world. Keep us in your love and your care and your fellowship. And help us, Father, to stand by the way of the cross, where the cross leads home, and we bless your name. Thank you, Father, for this precious portion of your word. In Jesus' name we humbly pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.